Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the podcast of Battle Focus Ministries, equipping Christian saints for spiritual warfare. Thank you for joining with us today. If you are listening to us live and have a question or comment on today's topic, you may call in at the number listed on the webpage. Please be patient. There may be delays due to network speed. Also, you may post your comments or questions on our page at Blog Talk Radio or on our Facebook ministry page. Hey, I'm Robert Sims. Welcome to Battle Focus Ministries and Sergeant's Time. Just like in the movies, the enemy often attacks just before dawn. And the United States Army, in encountering that, has a procedure called stand to that occurs every morning and every evening. Every morning, just before first light, well before the sun comes up, and after the sun goes down in the evening, and before the very last light leaves the sky, you have stand to again. That stand to is everyone gets out of their bed, gets in their gear, goes on the perimeter, and watches for the enemy attack. After a certain period of time, if the enemy hasn't come, everyone can go about the day's business every day when you're in country. Let me tell you a story of a soldier and stand to. We all call him Private Jones. Private Jones woke up and got out of a sleeping bag, put on his body armor and his boots, grabbed his rifle, tapped the magazine to make sure it was there, went out of the tent to stand watch for the enemy attack. He was drowsy. His feet and his hands were freezing cold. He was shivering. It was so cold. As time passed, the enemy eventually startled him awake with the very first volley of small arms fire. He tried to return fire, but his rifle jammed. When he did finally get off a round, he was shaking too badly to aim. The enemy walked up and told him he was dead. This was training, after all. The enemy, his sergeant, also wanted to know a couple of things. Number one, why was the soldier out of uniform? He was butt naked except for his body armor and his boots. And why was he standing guard outside of the unit perimeter? As you can tell, there's more to this story. You see, Private Jones, that soldier had left his unit the night before after a dispute, fist fight with another soldier. He had left his unit, going into the nearby city that evening, seriously considering desertion. Now, how he was going to do that out of South Korea, I don't know, but he was. Although he consumed a few alcoholic drinks, later that evening he decided to return to his unit. But he didn't quite make it back. It was too cold and it was too dark. So he set up an emergency shelter, basically his sleeping bag with a poncho over the top of it. When he had gotten up that morning, he was completely disoriented, dazed, and he still smelled out like just a little bit of booze. He had apparently pulled stand to completely out of muscle memory, if not outright fear of that sergeant. Now, why do I tell such an insane story? Most spiritual warfare training begins with and ends with putting on the armor of God. But that in and of itself has as much usefulness as this soldier fighting his own battle, butt naked, confused, and cut off from his team outside of that perimeter. Training, biblical training for spiritual warfare, doesn't begin in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, put on the whole armor of God, but in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 and all of the chapters in between those verses. In context, putting on the whole armor of God begins with Ephesians chapter 1:1, faith in Christ. This is as the free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's part of being on mission with Christ, that mission being to unite all things in him, both in heaven and on earth. And as we find in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, that is to take the gospel to all the nations, that all peoples would have access to God through Father by faith in Jesus Christ. We are to be connected with the team, both Christ dwelling in us, as Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following, and to walk in humility with the church in Ephesians chapter 4 and following. That we walk in light. In other words, we put on our uniform before we put on the armor. We put off the old self. We're renewed in the newness of our minds. We put on the new man, or in other words, we put on Christ. We walk in love. We walk as children of light. We walk as wise men, redeeming the time. And we walk in authority. We report for our duty assignment, and we remain accountable to others, as we find out in Ephesians chapter 5 and all the way through Ephesians 6, verse 9. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we put on the whole armor of God. Certainly, we can't get to all that tonight. This afternoon, we're going to talk about each of these areas as the weeks progress. But spiritual warfare, fighting against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, does not begin with and end with a simple understanding or a putting on the body armor. It begins much earlier. It begins in Ephesians 1:1. Last week, we talked about putting on, Christian, we talked about fighting the good fight of faith. And I told a story that said one thing in considering this idea of fighting the good fight of faith is to fight the right fight. And that is that we, instead of going out and marching in a human uniform in a human army, carrying human weapons, and fighting as human armies do, and killing their enemy in order to take the city, doesn't work in the Christian army. Our job is to set the captives free, to heal them of their wounds, to clothe them in the clothing of righteousness of Jesus Christ, and as a whole army, as a reunited army, as the redeemed children of God, take the fight to the enemy. That begins with the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which in turn begins with the preacher, the one proclaiming the gospel, believing or acting in faith in that first. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So there's part of the good fight is the right fight, but part of the fight is the good fight, specifically of faith. Now, every single man, woman, and child, faith in something or in someone. Just to have faith to believe in something isn't pleasing to God. Specifically, the faith that is pleasing to God is Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that seek him. We're talking about faith in God, but we're not talking about faith in any God, however we might conceive him to be, but faith in God as he has revealed himself through his word and through his son, Jesus Christ. But we put faith, human beings, we put faith in a lot of things. It's not a question of reason versus faith. It's not a question of so-called science versus religion. We all put faith in something. Some people put faith in their own ability to reason. Some put faith in their heart, leading them in the right way, opposed to the wisdom that or advice of others. Just some insane belief that their faith, Christian, their heart will lead them in the right place. But the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who could understand it? Proverbs asks, stand his way. Some men put faith in their heart. Some put faith in their reason, but for and their intellect. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 and following says, where is the one who is, quote unquote, wise? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to proclaim to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19 and following says that the wisdom of this world is folly or foolishness with God. It is written that he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the faults of the wise, that they are futile, that they don't accomplish anything. Now, some people don't put faith in their own ability to reason or their own heart, but they're willing to put faith in others, the school teacher who taught them, their college professor, their mom and dad. And it's great to as a child to obey your mother and father. It's the first commandment with promise. But we're to put faith in God, not man. Faith in government. We see that every day in the news these days. But Psalm verses, or chapter 118, verses 8 and 9 says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord to put trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put trust in princes. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and following. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in parched places in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. In other words, futile. Push anything. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. And by Lord, the scripture means Jesus Christ. Back to the writings of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and following. In him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Verse 13 and following, in him, in Jesus Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in other words, the good news of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Paul makes mention of this word of truth and the gospel, the good news or the gospel of your salvation, and said, Ephesus believed this word and believed in this, the story of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and obtained forgiveness of sin according to the riches of God's grace, or, in other words, unmerited favor. What do we mean by this word? And what do we mean by faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith, in other words, the faith that pleases God, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, Peter says, speaks of the same thing. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the word of God. This is the word, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. Folks, I'm not asking you to believe because Robert says so. I'm asking you to put your faith in the word of God that will not fail, and in the God who spoke that word into existence, who will never pass away and will never fail. But what's this good news that was preached? What is this gospel? Paul explains in the letter to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, what the gospel is. He reminds the church at Corinth that the gospel which they had received, in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you of first importance what I also received. Notice these three things that comprises the gospel. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Number two, that he was buried. And number three, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, left heaven, left the throne room of God, the Father, came to the earth, walked as a man, perfect life, and died, went to the cross and died, and his blood was shed, not for his own wrongdoing, but for yours and mine. That after 3 days, he came up out of the grave, was raised again, defeating death forever and ever, defeating the enemy forever and ever, and after a period of time on earth, ascended back into heaven, and we watched for his return one day. This Jesus, when he walked the earth, was asked how to have eternal life. And Jesus replied that to this young man that he had to be born again, just like Peter said. And the way that was through believing in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16 says that Jesus' own words, saying that God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse, almost everyone is familiar with, but the story doesn't end in that verse. Continuing in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their works are evil. You see, all of us, because of the story of Adam and Eve, when they rebelled against God and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil after Eve was tempted by Satan, our enemy, were condemned to death because of that obedience, and all men after that. Ephesians chapter, going back to the story of Paul to the church of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, and all of us were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, just like Eve did. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Romans chapter 3 says that all of us have, quote unquote, sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that word mean, sin? It means that we have disobeyed. But it means more than that. It's not that just we disobeyed God, but that we didn't quite live up to his standard of good or right. Jesus Christ said that none of us are good, but that we've all sinned. In other words, we've missed the mark. But the story doesn't end there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, in other words, Adam, and death through sin, so that death spread to all of men, including you and me, because God concluded that we're all under sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, following up in Genesis, the story of Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, where God said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, on that day you shall die. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. It's not just Adam and Eve, it's all of us. All of us have been concluded under sin, convicted under sin, of that sin, and are sentenced to death. Now, if we ended the story right there, that would be a really crappy story. But that verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, continues. It says, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend, what do you have to do to get a gift? Do you have to go out and work for it? I hope not. Gift is supposed to be something you get without earning it. In other words, it's not like Santa Claus. If you're good enough, you get a gift at the end of the year. You get a gift because someone loves you, and they offer that freely. If it's not free, it's not a gift. You've earned it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10, says that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace, in other words, it's unmerited favor, didn't go out and work for it, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. So, in other words, if you had to earn your salvation, you'd get up to heaven and say, beat on your chest and say, hey, I was good enough to get here. Doesn't work. We go to heaven. We have a relationship with God because of his love and his gift of his son, Jesus Christ, and us receiving that gift in faith, not because of our works. We are not saved by our works, but because we're saved, we do good works. Verse 10 says that we are his workmanship. Say that again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And continues in verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friend, you can't just mumble some words. Sign your name on a line at some church somewhere and be counted as one of God's children. But if you, in your heart, believe God's word, first that you believe that God is, and that he has a plan of the ages to reward those that seek him, and that you believe the word of God, that says that he loves us enough to give his own only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. If you believe God that says we all have sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, we've all missed the mark, and are willing to confess that sin and ask for God for forgiveness, and to claim the promise that Jesus Christ paid our penalty. We don't have to die because of our sin. He died on a cross. He shed his blood on a cross for us, was buried for 3 days, and after 3 days rose again, defeating death, defeating the power of the enemy, and ascended back onto the throne in heaven with God the Father. If you believe that testimony, not based off of what Robert says, but by the word of God, and you believe that in your heart, you will be saved. And you confess that by simple prayer of confessing to God. Go something like this. It's not these words, but something similar to your own heart if you've never done this before. Father, I come to you not based off of my good works, but believing your promise, believing the good news of the story of Jesus Christ. Come to you full of sin, sorry for my sin, wanting to put my errors and failures of the past behind me, to come to you in simple faith and simple belief, trusting in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, to cleanse me of my sin, to take me in my sorry state that I'm in and make me a new man. Make me just as clean and as pure and as right with you as your own Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I come to you in faith. I ask that you would help live for you. Help me to fight in the right army. Help me to overcome this world, overcome the enemy. Help me to read your word. Help me to pray to you. Help me to tell others of you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, or you've prayed it in the past, you're in the right army. The job now is to be in the right uniform alongside that team, putting off the old things of this earth, putting on the new man through the Word of God. My friend, I need you to do a couple of things if you just prayed that prayer. One is go to my website, www.battlefocus.org, and find my contact information under the ministry page and call me. You can also reply to the comments underneath the page that you're listening to the broadcast on, whether that's on Facebook or at Twitter or at Blog Talk Radio. Let me know you just prayed that prayer. Then I need you to find a local church and go and worship with them. And when the preacher gives you an opportunity, walk down and share with him that you've just accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then follow his leadership and his guidance to walk the walk of faith and to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you for joining us today. May God bless you in your journey with him.